Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We're delighted, beloved, to have you turning your dial to join us for these next few moments as we share the Word of God together once again. To begin with, I'd like to give you a new mailing address. So if you will please get your pencil and paper, I'd like to give you this new mailing address so letters that you send to us can now be sent to this new mailing address. You will address your letter to capital K, capital C, capital LEONARDI. That's capital K, capital C, and then a space, and then capital LEONARDI. That is KC Leonardi. That's the name. And the address, 167 Alto, that's spelled capital A-L-T-O, Alto, and then the next word is road, capital R-O-A-D. On the next line, you will put the word Ignacio, that's the town we live near, spelled capital I-G-N-A-C-I-O, Ignacio, comma, capital C, capital O, period. That's the state we live in, the state of Colorado. And then the zip code, 81137. That zip code is very important. We've received letters before that were messed up, but it had the correct zip code. And we have received those letters. So be sure that you have the zip code following Ignacio, comma, capital C-O, period, Colorado, 81137. Then on the last line, you will put capital U, period, capital S, period, capital A, period. That stands for United States of America. We do look forward to hearing from you. Now again today, if you'll get your Bible or New Testament and turn with us to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And by the way, if you do not have a New Testament, we'd like to send to you a brand new Testament containing all 27 books of the New Testament in one volume. We'll also be glad to send you our first three Bible correspondence lessons in our first Bible correspondence course. And if you complete all four of our Bible correspondence courses, we will send you a brand new Bible containing all 66 books of the Bible in one volume. And we'll also send you our other information. We'll send you a 2008 pocket calendar, and we'll send you other Christian literature, gospel tracts, and other materials you can use to be a witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these will be sent in a packet to you. All we need is your name, your mailing address, printed clearly, including the name of your country. That information's very important to us, so we can get these materials back to you absolutely free and postage paid. Now again today, pardon me, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're reading about the day of the Lord. Beginning with verse 1, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus, when Christ is going to return to this earth to set up his kingdom to rule and reign here upon this earth. and this is an event that will come to pass just as the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ came to pass. There are many more references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus than to the first coming of the Lord Jesus, and yet all the prophecies concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ were fulfilled completely as the Word of God stated. And, beloved, the second coming of the Lord Jesus will also be fulfilled. And so he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." Both of these are future events yet in store. Our gathering together unto the Lord Jesus Christ is going to occur and take place before the tribulation period that we've been discussing in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And so he tells us, by our gathering together unto him. And remember, that's mentioned over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, where the Scripture says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And again, remember, he's referring to believers, because death for the believer is simply the old body going to sleep, and the spirit and soul go immediately into the presence of the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So it's the body that goes to sleep in the grave, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, because we have hope. So when a loved one dies, we know they've just gone to be with the Lord, and we will see them again. It's just goodbye for a little while. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." You see, these believers are with Christ, and their bodies are going to be resurrected from the grave. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede or go before them which are asleep." That is, whose bodies are in the grave, but they are in the presence of the Lord. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so that's what he's referring to here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And by our gathering together unto him." That's the rapture of the church. Verse 2, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day..." The day of Christ shall not come except, first of all, there come a falling away first. That's a falling away from the truth, a dropping off in attendance to the Lord's house. And secondly, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That man of sin that's being revealed is spoken of as the beast in Revelation chapter 13. Because of the kind of person that he is. Verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." That's what he will do. He will oppose God, and he will exalt himself and say that he is God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when this man begins to unite the world into a one-world government, that will occur during the first half of the seven-year tribulation period. The church will be called out. The world will be plunged into a seven-year period of time called tribulation. In the midst of that period of time, this man will break a seven-year covenant that he will make with Israel to protect them. During the first 3.5 years of that seven-year covenant, he will be going about to unite the world under his leadership. And during that first 3.5 years, Israel will rebuild their temple there in Jerusalem. And then in the midst of that 7-year period of time, he will break his covenant with Israel. He will go into the Holy of Holies in the temple of Israel and declare himself to be God. Verse 5, remember ye not, Paul says, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and sin is abounding today, beloved, all over the world. That mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth, this is an old English word which means hinders, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit who indwells the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Then that wicked shall be revealed. This wicked man will then come upon the scene and begin to unite the world to govern together into a one world government under his control and leadership. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back at the end of that 7-year tribulation period with the saints of God, he will consume this man with the spirit of his mouth. As this passage says, for out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Revelation 19 describes the word of the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, the word of God is spoken of as sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the Lord will speak the words that will consume the beast and send him into the lake of fire, which the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now remember, when Christ comes back, the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast into the bottomless pit. And that's where the beast will be kept for that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 19, because I don't want to get you confused and misinformed you. So let's look at it together here. Revelation chapter 19. This is the very thing that I've been warning you about. Be careful who you listen to and whether they're true to the Word of God or not. Here in Revelation chapter 19, notice what the Scripture says in verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And then in notice beginning, as he says in verse 20, there he speaks of the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before them, which deceived the whole world, and they were cast into the lake of fire. Till next time, goodbye.